Okay, good morning, and Freiluchim Chanukah, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Tzadi Vav. We are holding at the very top of Daf Tzadi Vav Amir Aleph, the first word on the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, Nisham Shev and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Esti and Avi Goldstein on the occasion of their seventh yard site of their beloved son, Zachary, my beloved Talmud, Chaim Tzvi Ben Avraham, whose yard site is next Wednesday. His Neshama Shev and Aliyah, we miss him very, very much. And we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss is the following. First, the Gemara is going to discuss, why is it that they do Shvira on the Klei Cheres? Meaning, after all, that seems very wasteful. Isn't there a way to kasher Klei Cheres by being Machzir Lekivshan, by doing some sort of Libun, putting it back into the kiln, and just redoing it that way, instead of breaking the Klei Cheres? So that's going to be all of Amud Aleph. And then on, it's a short Amud Aleph. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss, if cooking was only done in part of the Kli, do you need to do Mariko Shtifa on the entire Kli? Or is it good enough to do Mariko Shtifa on the part of the Kli where you cook the item? Then the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas Tanoim, where the Kachim Kalim also require Mariko Shtifa, right? Our Mishnah had said, Echot Kachim Kachim and Echot Kachim Kalim require Mariko Shtifa, but Rabbi Shimon Omer Kachim Kalim ain't to the Mariko Shtifa. So what exactly is behind that Machlokas as to whether kachim kalim that get cooked in a kli, whether the kli requires mariku shtifa? Then the Gemara is going to tell us, but one thing I can tell you for sure, truma does not require mariku shtifa, but it does require hagala on the kli. And the Gemara is going to have differences, nafkaminas, between hagala and mariku shtifa, meaning they seem to be the same basic idea that you kasher out the kli from whatever was in there. Meaning we'll discuss in the next Mishnah, which we won't get to today, how exactly they did Mariko Shtifa, what the process was of Mariko Shtifa, but it's some sort of kashering process, it seems to be. So what exactly is the difference between Hagala versus Mariko Shtifa? So let's begin at the top of Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. So asks the Gemara, El Kederu Shel Mikdash Amai Yishperu. Why is it that when they had a Kli Cheres in the Beis HaMikdash, after they cooked the Karbonos in it, why would they break those Kelim? After all, Nadrina L'Kivshonos, just put them back into the kiln where they make the Kederus in the first place, and isn't that going to be enough to kasher the Kli? Now the question of the Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand, because the Rishonim all point out that we already learned in yesterday's daf that there's a tzad in the Gemara that even Klei Cheres where you cook basar karban and are not boleya anything would require shvira. Meaning, why would you require shvira if the kli is not boleya anything? Because it's gzeres hakasuv that's what you do. So apparently it's not about kashering the kli. If it were about kashering the kli, then ein achinami. This is a really good question, that there is a way to kasher Klei Cheres by putting it back in the kiln. But it doesn't seem to be that way. It seems to be that it's gzeres hakasuv, and that even if there are no bleya, so how can you just the Gemara ask, oh, I know that there's a mitzvah of Shvira, but why do we do it? Let's just not do that mitzvah. I mean, that's what it sounds like the Gemara is asking. So Rashi writes that the maskana of the Gemara in yesterday's daf is that a Kli Cheres where you cook from the Basar Karban, where it was not Boleya, in fact does not require Shvira. So it turns out that the din of Shvira's Kli Cheres is not a Gzeres HaKasuv. It actually is because of the Bleos, and then the Gemara's question makes sense, that considering that the Shvira's Kli Cheres is on account of the fact that there are blios of the carbon inside the Kli Cheres, so therefore why don't we come up with a better solution of kashering the Kli? So Rashi rejects the premise of the question. He says, not just Stam Gzeres HaKasuv, it relates to the blios. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that by putting it back into the Kivshan, it's considered a brand new Kli, and therefore the Libun should patur it from Shvira, and that's what the Gemara is asking, that it doesn't require. I mean, it's not that we're being mevatel a mitzvah, where you have a mitzvah that where, as long as you have this kli that you cooked something in, you have a mitzvah of Shvira. So the Tos says, yeah, okay, so you put it in the kiln and now it's a brand new kli, it's panu chadashas ba'olakan, so there is no mitzvah of Shvira, so you're not being mevatel a mitzvah. Tosos has a kashan, Rabbeinu Tam rejects Rabbeinu Tam, And Tosfos says a third interpretation, that from the fact that the Torah says to be machshir kli nechoshes b'mariko shtifa and a kli cheres b'shvira and not b'mariko shtifa, we see that only the blios and the kli mateches are yotzim idei dofno. The blios and the kli cheres do not come out of the walls of the kli cheres. So the tzad in the Gemara that requires shvira even when you have bishul without bilua is not just tam gzeres hakasav. It's because the pasuk is being, the Torah is being machmir by kli cheres to be machshiv the bishul as if it were balua. So the Gemara is saying that even though we say you can't do agala, but there is still some way of doing libun. Meaning the premise of the Gemara is that when we say that if there's no blios, you still have to do shvira. So how do you understand that? Do you just say gzeres hakasav? So you just do shvira and there's a mitzvah shvira. We just break it because the Torah says so. Or do you say no? The Torah is when it's mechadish, this din of shvira is not just making up a new category. It's being mechadish that this kli belongs in a pre-existing category. That there is a category of kelim that have blios. When a kli has a blia, you need to do something about that blia. Over here, you cook without a blia, so and you still need shvira. Yeah, the chiddush of the Torah is treat it like it has a blia. That's what the Torah is telling you to do, to behave toward this kli as if it had a blia. Oh, so if you're supposed to behave toward this kli as if it had a blia, and that's what the Torah is demanding of us, so the Gemara's kash is good. The Gemara is asking, so why don't we just put it back into the kivshan, and in that way we'll be behaving toward this kli as if it has a blia. So whichever way you understand the kash, the Gemara is asking, why do we do shviras kli cheres? After all, can't we just put it back into the kiln? So Amar Rabbi Zeira l'fi she'enosim kivshonos b'Yerushalayim. We can't because we don't make kilns in Yerushalayim. They cause a lot of smoke, and smoke causes damage, and we don't want to destroy the walls of Yerushalayim. So the obvious question is, so don't make the kiln in Yerushalayim. Meaning make the kiln outside of Yerushalayim, bring the kelim out, and do it there. So the Chemdas Daniel writes, you can't bring the kelim out of Yerushalayim because the kachim is balua in the Dofen HaKli, so that's also subject to a psul yotzei. Just like you're not allowed to bring the karban outside, you're not allowed to bring the blios of the karban outside of Yerushalayim. Now the reason the Gemara said, the Nimukei Chaim explains, the reason the Gemara says that we don't make kivshonos in Yerushalayim, and it doesn't say very simply we don't make kivshonos in the Azara, which is what Lechora we're talking about over here, because the Shviras Klicheras happens in the Azara, so why are we talking about all of Yerushalayim? Just say we don't want to make a kiln in the Azara is because the Gemara is following the sheet of the Tanakama in the Mishnah that said that even a kli that you're mevashal kachim kalim in requires mriku shtifa and shvira, and kachim kalim get to be eaten in all of Yerushalayim. So in order to explain why by a kli cheres where you cook kachim kalim, we can't at least be machzir lekivshan. So it says because we don't make a kivshan even anywhere in Yerushalayim. Not only for those kelim that you cook kachim kachim in, but even those kelim that you cook kachim kalim, we don't make kivshonos anywhere in Yerushalayim. In the Sefer Chasidim, that's what we have this halacha that you don't make kivshonos Yerushalayim. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid quotes this halacha, and the poskim discuss. Okay, at some point we weren't allowed to make a kiln in Yerushalayim. What about nowadays? Bizman Hazeh, does it become mutter? So now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, now that we don't have control of Yerushalayim, well now we do have control of Yerushalayim. So that adds a further complication into the whole discussion. So the Radvaz writes in a tshuva in Chelek Beis in Tafresh Lamed Gimel that which we don't plant ginos upardesim in Yerushalayim is because of it's going to cause the fertilizing of the fields and things like that will cause smells, and people will be disgusted when they come to Yerushalayim. The only regalim are going to come and they're going to be turned off from the Reach Ra of Yerushalayim. So the Radvaz writes, so that halacha about not having ginos of pardesim, now that Yerushalayim is biyad goyim, so it's not shayich to have such a halacha. And he says, and similarly, that which we don't make kivshonos in Yerushalayim because of the smoke is so that the walls of the homes don't become blackened from the smoke. Don't worry about it, Bisman Hazeh. Bisman Hazeh, it's all beyond Goyim. What are we destroying already? And the Kaftar Farach writes the same thing, that all of the anything that relates to the Iker Kedushas Yerushalayim is still knowing Bisman Hazeh, because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is still there. Anything that's more practical in nature that relates to the residents of Yerushalayim and the buildings in Yerushalayim, so nowadays we're not going to be worried about those, because look who's living in those buildings and look who's controlling Yerushalayim. In the Sefer Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash, the Rav Yechiel Melchel Tkachinsky writes that even though the Rambam writes in Hilchus Mamrim that any takana the Chazal made, when it's in the Rambam writes Parak Beis Halacha Beis, that any takana Chazal made, that if Batal Atam, the takana is still in place, when it comes to takanos for the Yifoy Ha'ir and the Yishuv Ha'ir, that automatically falls away. That automatically, you don't need, it's not that you need a Beis Din Gadol B'Chachma Minyan to uproot the takana. The nature of the Iker Takana is when Yerushalayim is inhabited by Jewish people. The Pasa Shulchan writes, however, that the din that we don't plant Ginos of Pardesim is Shaykh even B'Zman Hazeh, because it does relate to the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, meaning he doesn't think you could separate these things. The fact that Yerushalayim is going to smell, the fact that Yerushalayim is going to have smoke damage and things like that, that itself is a chilul of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. It's not only a practical matter that we're trying to make things pleasant for those who reside there. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to apparently be very careful that they don't have smoke damage, that they don't make very smoky things. So the Makar Chaim, who's the author of the Chavos Yoyer, he writes that in Siman Kufnun Aleph and Or HaChaim, which is where we talk about the Dinim of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, he says that the Neros that they used to light in the Beis HaKnesses used to not have electricity, so they had like these menorahs, and that they would light on the ground level, and then they had a pulley system to raise them to provide light for the Beis HaKnesses. He said it should be wax candles, it shouldn't be shemen, because shemen gets very smoky and it's going to damage the walls of the Beis HaKnesses. And just like we're makbid about it in Yerushalayim, we should be makbid about it in the Batei Knesios as well. Mar Murtenberg writes, someone gave money to buy shemen for menorahs Beis HaKnesses, and because of the smoke, it caused a lot of damage. So people had to go to other shuls because they couldn't stand the smell of it and the smoke from it. So he said you could use the money for a different tzedakah. You don't have to keep on producing all of that smoke and causing all of that damage. So a lot of the things, a lot of the dinim of the mikdash, we have in Batei Knesios as well. It's interesting, this discussion of whether it applies to Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh probably relates to the discussion of whether we tear Kriya over Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh. Meaning, how do we look at Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh? Do we look at it as Burchubana, or do we look at it as Bibinyana? So certainly the Mikdash itself, that's obviously Burchubana, so we tear Kriya on the Mikdash. It's actually a discussion in Poskim. I was just talking yesterday about this to somebody, I don't remember when. There's a discussion in Poskim, if you just see the Dome of the Rock, you just see the Golden Dome or whatever, and you don't see the actual floor of the Har HaBayis, do you tear Kriya when you just see the Dome? Because normally you walk through Shar Yafo and you come down, the first thing you see is the Dome. You don't necessarily see the floor of the Har HaBayis. If you go up on Har HaZeisim, Har HaTzofim, so then you'll see the floor of the Har HaBayis. So Sternbach writes in the name of the Brisker Rav that it's when you see the Har HaBayis, it means the Makom HaMikdash, it means the ground. Only then do you tear Kriya. However, most other poskim assume not that way. And the logic is not only that kol mechubal lekarka is kekarka, so anything that's built on the ground is the ground, so you did see the ground. Not only that, but this is what you're looking at is Churban HaMikdash. Is there a greater symbol of Churban HaMikdash than looking at the mosque that's on the Makom HaMikdash? So that is Churban HaMikdash that a person is seeing. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, so how do we define Yerushalayim B'Churbana? Is Yerushalayim B'Churbana based on it being controlled by a non-Jewish government? Or is Yerushalayim B'Churbana based on the majority of the residents being non-Jews? What exactly is Yerushalayim b'Churbana? So I think Rav Meisher writes that nowadays Yerushalayim is not considered Yerushalayim b'Churbana. That nowadays it's under Jewish control, and therefore we don't tear Kriya on Yerushalayim. I think other poskim held differently. I think the Stipler, maybe others, held differently, that they held that there are still churches and mosques all over Yerushalayim. So that itself is Yerushalayim b'Churbana, that there's Avodah Zarah going on in Yerushalayim, is the definition, regardless of leaving out the politics of what you think of the government or whatever, right? Meaning, regardless of the fact that it's in Jewish hands, but just the fact that there's Avodah Zarah going on in Yerushalayim might qualify it as Yerushalayim b'Churbana. Okay, so anyway, says so again, the Gemara asked, why don't we just put the Kli Charis back into the Kivshan instead of breaking it? And we said, because we can't have a Kivshan in Yerushalayim. So Amar Abaye says, well, you could ask on the din of Chiyosin Ashpasos Ba'azara, meaning you could ask on the din that we do have, that we break the Kli Charis instead. So you're going to have a bunch of shards of broken pottery, like it's a dumpster. So you're going to have Ashpasos in the Azara, that's okay, that we don't mind having to have broken Kli Charis all over the Azara. So now the Rishonim raised the question, who says you have to leave them there? Break the Kli Charis in the Azara. Once they're broken, then you could for sure, L'chori, you should for sure be able to take them out. So the Ritva says there must have been some sort of Masara that you're not allowed to take them out, that you have to leave them there. So that's what we're asking. So Al Karchach, you're disrespecting the Azara anyway, either by having a Kivshan or by having Ashpasos. So why not just have a Kivshan? So why do Kli Charis require Shavira? So Ishtamite Hadatani Shmaya Bikalnavo. He forgot that which Rosh Shmaya taught in the place called Kalnavo, that Shivri Kli Charis Nivlanim Bimakoman, that the Shivri Kli Charis got absorbed Bimakoman, they got absorbed in the spot in the Azara where they were broken. So it was this was one of the nisim of the Beis Hamikdash. That's a pretty significant miracle, that immediately the Kli Charis, they would throw them on the floor, they would shatter into a million pieces, and then disappear. That's quite the nace. It's always a question, right? One of the questions that people probably don't ask so much about Chanukah, but should be asked about Chanukah, is why this nace deserved a holiday. Meaning, especially if you assume it's a nace melchama, okay, so it saved all of our lives. But if you assume it's about the, and it saved the whole religion, but if you assume it's the nace pach shemen, that they were kovei yom tov, like the Gemara seems to say, that it's from the nace pach shemen, so what? Because a pach shemen lasted longer than you would have expected it to last. So that deserves that. Yeah, I mean, it's an ace, but is that at nearly as great an ace as the things that happened daily in Bayis Rishon? The fire coming down in Hashemayim to consume the korban? There are so many nisim that happen that are so much more impressive than oil lasting longer than it should last. You know, there are tricks to make oil last longer than it should last. You put the wick lower down in the oil, you make a thinner wick. Right there, so oil that, and even to calculate exactly how long it should last, not so possible that you would even notice if your oil lasted longer than it should last. It's not such a nace gullwy. The way I always say it is, I once had my own personal nace Chanukah. Is I used to have a car that they used to call a Rebbe's car. So I brought it one time, the battery died. And I brought it to the mechanic, or somebody got it to the mechanic, and the mechanic said, "This is unbelievable. This is the original battery of the car. This should have died 4 years ago." So that's the Mamash Neis Chanukah, right? It had X amount of juice in it, and it should have lasted for X amount of time, and it lasted X plus Y. So it's a nace, but why that nace gets a Yom Tov as opposed to any other nace? Okay, but anyway, so they had this nace of the Kli Charis. Now, why did Hashem perform such a miracle that the Charis gets absorbed in the ground? So Rashi writes, okay, so that the Azara shouldn't be a dumpster, that there shouldn't be broken Charis all over the place. The Ritva and Rabbeinu Eliyakim say differently. They say it's because it's Shelo Yizokwa Kohanim are walking around the Azara barefoot, right? So they're going to be walking around with broken shards of pottery all over the place. That doesn't seem pleasant. So in order to protect the Kohanim as they're walking around the Azara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to protect them, and that's why he made this neis. Okay, so ask the Gemara, El Hadam Rav Nachum Ram Rav Baravua, Tanur Shal Mikdash Shal Mateches Hava, the fact that we said that the Tanur in the Beis HaMikdash was made out of metal, Navet Cheres, why not make it Cheres? Dehesekel Mibifnimu, because after all, the Tanur is fired up from the inside of the kli, and that would automatically kasher it. So we said, because that's what we said yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, that when something is haseko mi b'chutz, it's not going to kasher the kli cheres. You only can kasher it with haseko mi b'fnim. So it says, kiven di ika shtei alechem v'lechem apanim. No, because there is the shtei alechem of the yontuf of Shavuos and the lechem apanim that they would have every single week. Da afiyosin b'tanur kedushasin b'tanur havelei kli shareis, that the baking in the oven and the kedusha in the oven, that makes the oven a kli shareis, because it's makdish the shtei alechem and the lechem apanim. Is a little daf yomi coincidence, lechem apanim on a Friday. Ukli shareis techeres lo avdinan, and we don't make a kli shareis out of cheres. Vafilu Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah lo kamar el de'etz avol decheres lo. Even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah allows making kli shareis out of more materials than you would expect. Only does so out of eitz, but he would not out of a kli shareis. Rav Shachta actually just mentioned this machlokas about making kli shareis out of eitz in his shir Chanukah mesiba last night. I was around yeshiva, so I just decided to go. I'm also Talmud, so he mentioned this machlokas. Why did he mention this machlokas? Because one of the things that they had to do after they cleaned up the Beis HaMikdash a little bit, they didn't have a menorah anymore, so they needed to make a new menorah. But what were they going to make that menorah out of? So it's a machlokas tanaim. There's a machlokas whether they made it out of eitz or they made it out of cheres. Questions: are you allowed to make a menorah? Or out of mateches? You for sure are not allowed to make it out of cheres. Questions: are you allowed to make it out of eitz? Is it mutter to make it out of eitz? What's behind that machlokas? Because it's really about the midrash Torah and drashas ben, that there is a we say every single morning Rabbi Shmuel Lomer that there are 13 midrash Torah and drashas ben, and among them is klalu pratu klal. Right? We have klalu pratu klal, but not everyone agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that those are the midrash Torah Drash Ben. First of all, there are probably way more than 13, but he's picking 13. Unclear how these 13 got chosen. They're not all popular. Some of them are popular ones that are used a lot. Some of them are very, very rarely used. There are others that aren't on the list that are more commonly used. But aside from that, even the ones on the list, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. He holds that we don't say klal pratu klal. We say ribui miut ribui. That when the Torah has an expansive term and a limiting term and then an expansive term, there's a whole different way of darshaning it. So whether you do ribui miut ribui or klal pratu klal is going to determine whether you can make a menorah out of eitz. Because the pasuk says vasisa menoras zahav tahor miksha teyasa menorah. So when it says menoras, it's a riboy. Sounds like any kind of menorah. Mikol davar. Zahav tahar, that's a miyot. Pure gold the menorah should be made out of. Sounds like only gold, no other matzos. And miksha teyase ha-menorah, that's a riboy. You can make it out of anything. So riboy miyot a riboy, marba hakol. Zahav tahar is mema'it, only the thing that is most opposite from zahav tahar, which is klichares. Klicheres cannot be klicheres, but if you learn klal pratu klal, then anything that's ke'ein, the prat is included. But anything that's not ke'ein a prat is automatically excluded. So it's got to be something similar to zahav tahar. The only thing that's similar to zahav tahar is matchos, is other metals. But things that are not metal would be excluded. So that's that's exactly the drasha of the Gemara is referring to. That's a good Chanukah coincidence, right? That was the drasha of the Gemara is referring to. The machlokes the Gemara is referring to is about the menorah. It's about the menorah and particularly became relevant in the Chanukah story. Okay, but that's why they couldn't make an oven to bake the breads out of kli cheres, because it had to be a kli shareis, and everyone agrees that a kli shareis cannot be made out of cheres. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda Avarog Kameh de Rami Bar Chama. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda used to go to Rami Bar Chama. He would attend his shiurim, Shafke, and then he abandoned him. Vazel Rav Sheshes, and he decided instead to go to Rav Sheshes. Yom Echad Pagalei, one day he saw the old Rebbe. So Amalei, Rami Bar Chama said to Rabbi Yitzchak, al kafta naktan recha asil aliyad. When I shake the king's hand, do I become the king? You know, you think like some of the royalty rubs off on me. You think that if you hang out by Rav Sheshes, you're going to become Rav Sheshes? Rav Shachter mentioned last night also at this Masiba. Sometimes you hang around Gedolim and like you have so much that you can pick up. So he said that that sometimes you have a Rebbe who's a super duper genius, and the Talmidim try to be just like the Rebbe, and genius can't be imitated. It can't be. He always gives the example of the Avnei Nezer and Rav Soloveitchik. He said the Talmidim Rav Soloveitchik that try to be Rav Soloveitchik, it lacks time. It doesn't. It's a genius. It can't be mimicked. It just doesn't. The Avnei Nezer had a lot of Talmidim who were great Talmidei Chachamim, but there's a certain genius in the Avnei Nezer that he was able to apply that level of chiddush and learning and creativity to halacha. And most of the Talmidim they had a lot of chiddush and a lot of creativity, but it wasn't quite the same. So he said, this is what the Gemara is saying. You think you're going to hang out with Rav Sheshes, you're going to become Rav Sheshes? You're not going to become Rav Sheshes. So Amalei, so he said, love, I don't think, I'm not trying to be arrogant and proud and to claim that I could be like Rav Sheshes, but Mishumachi, love Mishumachi, but there's a different reason that I go. Mar kibina milsa pashali misvara. Whenever I ask you a question, you give me a svara. Ki mashkachna masnisa parchala. But when I would find a brisa that goes against what you answer me, so that's it. So then your svara is gone because we have a raya lahebich. I have a raya from a brisa against you. Rav Sheshes kibina milsa minay. When I ask a shayla to Rav Sheshes, pashali mi masnisa, he right away produces a brisa. He tells me what the din is in the brisa. So even if I find another brisa against him, masnisa, so worst it's a brisa against another brisa. You have to know what it says in the brisas. You have to know what the Tanaim say. So when you give me a svara, but you don't tell me what Rav Shachter said last night also, he said that Rav Soloveitchik at the end of every shiur, he would say, okay, let's review. What does the Rambam say? And someone would say, Rambam says it's a din in the Gavra. He says, no, the Rambam doesn't say it. The Rambam says, chayiv. I explained that that's about the din, but you got to know what it actually says. And what does the Ravid say? The Ravid says din of the chafza. No, the Ravid says pater. I explained that relates to being. You have to just know what it says. You have to have the material. So Amalei. So Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Yitzchak, I didn't realize that it's my style that you didn't like. So Baimina Mil Sadiv Shilach Kimas Nisa. Ask me something, and I'll give you a response that's misvara. But when you're medayik in a brisa, you'll see that I'm really right. So Rav Yitzchak asked Rami Bar Chama, Bishal b'miktas kli. If a person cooked in part of the kli, so part of the kli was outside of the fire, Tom Riku Shtifa, does the entire kli need Mariku Shtifa? Oein Ta'un. I mean, certainly the part of the kli that you cooked in requires Mariku Shtifa. What about the rest of the kli? So Amalei, so he said, Eino Ta'un. The rest of the kli does not require Mariku Shtifa. Mididahava Haza'a. That is just like Haza'a of the dam chatos that gets splashed on a beged, where you need to be mechabes only the part of the beged where the dam chatos had hit the beged. Iva halo tanahachi. So he said, but we don't find in a brisa that says like you, and you're saying that you're being poshut misvar, and that if I'll find a brisa if I read the brisas carefully, that I'll see that you're correct. I don't know any brisa that says like that. So Amalei, so Rami Bar Chama said back to Rav Yitzchak, mistavra kibeged. It's mistavra to be poshut your Shaila from the din of a beged, and that is a mishnah that says that you only do the kibus on the part of the beged that had the dam that splattered on him. Ma beged in tom kibus el makom adam afkli in tom rikushtifa el makom bishul. That just like the beged only needs on the makom adam, so too the rikushtifa is only on the makom where the bishul actually happened. Now the kasha is from the fact that he says Bishul mixas is not chayv mriku shtifa in the entire kli, so it sounds like it's the bliya that's mechayv the mriku shtifa and not the bishul alone. Because if it's the bishul that's mechayv mriku shtifa, then what difference does it make if it was only in part of the kli or in the entire kli? This kli was used for bishul, but we said in yesterday's daf that Rabbi Baruch himself wasn't sure if you roast on a spit a carbon chatas in the airspace of a tanur, that so you're doing the cooking in in that tanur, but there is no actual blia in the tanur, so we weren't sure if it requires mriku shtifa. So apparently the Rami Bar Chama thought that maybe it wasn't a din in the blia; it's a din in just having bishul in that kli. So in the Katshe David, he says that when you're mevashel in part of a kli, the rest of the kli contributes nothing to the bishul, and therefore the rest of the kli is not there at all. And that's why we're not required mriku shtifa. But when you're roasting in the airspace of a kli, it's all about the heat that's being generated by the kli, and the entire kli is contributing equally to the heat that is in that airspace of the kli, and therefore it's all part of the bishul. Now the Karanora and the Netziv in Rami Sadeh both bring a Raya from here to the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam Maaser Kabbalos explained that Rami Bar Chama, when he had that suffix previously, that was only about the din of Shvira of a Kli Cheres. But by Kli Matchos, it does not require Mriku Shtifa with Bishul and not Bliya. And that's why our Sugya makes sense, because it is about the Bliya. It's all about the Bliya when it comes to Kli Matchos. Yes, we have a suffix about roasting on a spit inside of an oven where there is a Bishul and not a Bliya. That's only about Kli Cheres. That would not be about Kli Matchos. When it comes to Kli Matchos, of course it's about the Bliya, and it's not just about the Bishul. So Amar Leis, or Yitzchak, says back to Rami Bar Chama, Mi Dami, meaning your Tzushtel doesn't make sense. You're comparing the din of a Beged to a din of a Kli that you're Mevashel in part of it. Dam lo Mefapea, Bishul Mefapea. Dam sprinkles on the Beged. It doesn't spread throughout the whole Beged, and therefore you only need to do Kibbutz on that one spot. But a Kli that you cook in part of the Kli, the tam is nispashet, spreads throughout the entire kli, and therefore maybe the entire kli should require mriku shtifa on account of that. Va'otanya, and furthermore, we have a brisa that says like me that even if you cook in mixas kli, you're going to require mriku shtifa in the entire kli, because the brisa lists off all the dinim that you have in the chiyuv of kibbutz habeged and the chiyuv of mriku shtifa, and it compares them, and it says chom rebazam in mriku shtifa that the kibbutz of a beged that dam chatas splattered on is in a certain way more chomer than mriku shtifa of a kli mateches that you cooked kachim in v'chom mriku shtifa mibazah, and the din of mriku shtifa in a certain sense is more chomer than the din of hazah. So in what way chom rebazah, the chomer that hazah has over Mriku Shtifa, Shazah Yeshna Bechatos HaChitzonos uBechatos HaPnimios, that Hazah applies both to Chatos HaChitzonos and Chatos HaPnimios, the Chiyuv of Kibbutz HaBeged, where a little dam was splattered on the Beged, is whether it applies to, is whether it's Dam Chatos, where the dam is supposed to be on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, or whether it's Dam Chatos that is supposed to be Bifnim, the Chatos Pnim, and V'yeshna L'fnei Zrika, and also by the Kibbutz Begadim. If the dam is splatters before Zrika, it requires kibbutz begadim. Mashen ki mriku shtifa. None of those dinim are true about mriku shtifa. It's only on basar karbanos that are eaten. But if a chatas apnimis, where the basar is supposed to get burnt and it's not going to get eaten, gets cooked, or from basar kodem zrika, it gets cooked, so there is no din of mriku shtifa. The din of mriku shtifa is much more limited in that sense. And then the Bryce explains, and chomer Mriku Shtifa, and what's the chumra that Mriku Shtifa has over Dam Chata, over the din of Kibbutz Begadim? Shem Mriku Shtifa Nohagis Bein Bekachim Kachim, Bein Bekachim Kalim. Mriku Shtifa applies both to Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim that you cook in a Kli Matchis. Bishal Bemixas HaKli Ton Mriku Shtifa Kala Kli. You cook in part of the Kli, and you need Mriku Shtifa in the rest of the Kli as well. That's the second chumra that Mriku Shtifa has. Mashen Kein Bahazah, as opposed to when it comes to Hazah, which is not Noheg. By kachim kalim, only by kachay kachim, and if dam is nitaz al a beged, it does not require kibbutz of the entire beged, only in the spot where the dam was nitaz on the beged. Beferish in the brisa that you cook in part of the kli, you don't need that. You do need mriku shtifa in the entire kli. So I came and I asked you a shaila, and I told you the reason I left you yeshiva is because when I go ask my new rebbe, he has a brisa that tells me exactly the din. I ask you a shaila, you say a svara. The din over here, maybe it's the same. And then I just did it again. I asked you, Svari, you told me the din over here, it's the same as Zal with the beggar. It's not the same. Amalei, Itanya, Tanya. He's like, oh, okay, if you got a brisa, you got a brisa. I mean, meaning I have a brisa against me. So he demonstrated that point. V'taymimai, why is it that if you're mevashel in part of the kli, that you need mariku shtifa in the entire kli? Because amar krav im b'kli nechoshes bushala v'afilu b'miktsas kli. Says in b'kli nechoshes bushala, that implies even if you have a bishul in miktsas kli, that you're going to require mariku shtifa in the entire kli. Meaning this, so this gemara highlights the need for the knowledge of the information to be aware of all the marmakomas. There's a sefer chasidim that darshans the psukim in Eishes Chayil. Haisa kanios socher kania ein ksiv kan el kanios. That every talmud chacham that is ein yodeh lahashiv b'kol makom where they ask him is not roi leishu b'sanedrin v'rosh yeshiva. Mimerchok tavilachma, he has to be able to bring a raya mimesechta lemesechta. Mimerchok tavilachma, he has to have a mastery over all of it. Rav Shechter just mentioned last night that this, that Rav Nissen Alpert at Rav Moshe Feinstein's Levaya said that there's a din by a korban that if the animal has, let's say, one ear is much larger than the other, or the it's asymmetrical, you know, it's not one leg is longer than the other, that it's a possible korban. So Rav Nissen Alpert said he got to spend a lot of time with Rav Moshe, so gedolim were coming to visit all the time, and he said there were some gedolim that were experts in kachim, but they didn't know the first thing about Yoredeya. And there were other gedolim that were experts in Nashim Nezikin because they were Rashi Yeshiva, that's what they said, Shiraman, but they didn't know anything about kachim and Zraim and Taharos. He said Rav Moshe was symmetrical. Kol HaTorah Kula, he knew equally well. When I was by Rabbi Reisman last week, he told me he was learning Bechoros Bi'iyun over the past summer, and someone asked him a Shaila that they had bought a goat for their special needs daughter. So they bought two goats. They live up in Muncie, so they have a lot of property, and it was good for their daughter, and they didn't think about the fact that that they might have babies. So one of the goats got pregnant, had a baby, and he didn't think about the fact that there's a din of Bechor, that it has Kedushas Bechor. So he didn't sell them out. So now they have a baby goat that has Kedushas Bechor. So the goat was running around in the woods and came back with a nick in its ear. So he didn't know, is this a mum to be matirit? So Rabbi said, bring it over. He just learned the halachas. So even in kachim to la suke shmeitzal libedil chasa, to be able to, echo kachim kachim. So he said, both kachim kachim and kachim kalim, according to the Tanakhama, require mariko shtifa, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, kachim kalim do not require mariko shtifa. So Tanu Rabbanu, we have a raisa, chatos, ain't the alachatos. I would only know that mariko shtifa is by a chatos. Kol kachim inayin, how do I know? All other kachim tamlomar kodesh kadoshim hi yachal sheni marba esa truma. I might think truma also. If you cook truma in a kli, requires mirku shtiva tamlomar osa. That's why I have a miut of osa pratl truma div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon omer kachim kachim tunim mirku shtiva kachim kalim einon tunim mirku shtiva. Dichsev kodesh kadoshim kachim kachim in kachim kalim lo. That it's a gzeres akasa that only kachim kachim require mirku shtiva, not kachim kalim. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda not mimait from the word kodesh kadashim that kachim kalim do not require mariku shtifa? So midrash osa lemutei truma, from the fact that the Torah we need osa to be memai truma mechal the kachim kalim tunim mariku shtifa. Meaning in a funny sense that miut is really a ribui, that I have a miut to tell me not truma. It must mean that everything that's above the level of truma does require mariku shtifa. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lachan, Rabbi Shimon respond osa kedam rinan, that osa is like Rabbi Shimon darshan's the pasuk which teaches me that if dam chata splatters on a beged, that it was kosher and became pasul, the beged does not require kibbutz. And he darshens from osak sheira v'lo psula, that if it's pasul, it's not going to require kibbutz. Utruma lo bayish shtifa marika, is that true? The truma does not require shtifa marika v'atanya, but don't we have a brisa? Kidera shabishal b'basar lo yivashal b'chalav. If you cook meat in a pot, you should not cook milk in that pot. V'imbishal b'nosin tam. And if you do cook milk in that pot, and there's still tam basa that goes into the food that you cook, then it's going to aser it. And similarly, truma lo yivashal b'chulin. If you cook truma in the pot, you cannot cook chulin in the pot. V'im bishal. And if you do, b'nosin tam, it's going to aser b'nesinas tam. So the blios that are in the pot, even with bishal truma, you need the kli requires hagala to get those blios out. So don't you see that it requires mariku shtifa? Isn't that the same thing as hagala? So answers Gemara, Amar Abaye, say lo tzricha ela lida amar mar bishal mixas kli tan rikashiva kolkli hachum lo tzarech ela makom bishal. Now hagala is to remove the absorption of tan. If you have a part of a kli that's strafe, you can remove the absorption of tan in that part of the kli. Mariko shtifa is in the entire kli. Another difference. Rav amar lo tzricha ela lida amar mar b'mayim v'lo b'yayin b'mayim v'lo b'mazug ha afilu b'yayin v'afilu b'mazug. That we the pasuk says by Mariko shtifa that you cannot use yayin, you cannot use diluted wine, but when it comes to agala, apparently you can. Rabbar Ula Amar lo tzricha el damar mar. Mariko shtifa b'tzonein. Mariko shtifa is done with cold. After you do the hagala b'chamin, you then have to rinse it with cold. But when it comes to truma that is excluded from the din of Mariko shtifa, afil b'chamin, you could just do agala. You don't need to rinse it with cold afterwards. Our minag is, the Rishonim will quote, that we rinse with cold after we do Hagala. So it's probably based on it's a discussion Rishonim what it's based on, but it's probably based somehow on the din of Mariko Shtifa. So Hani Chal Madiyam Mariko Shtifa Bitzonin. That works very well if you assume Mariko Shtifa is Bitzonin. El Madam Mariko Bechamin Shtifa Bitzonin Maikel Meimar. But if you hold that Mariko is Bechamin and Shtifa is Bitzonin, so from the fact that Truma is Nisma'it and it does not require Mariko Shtifa, Truma also requires Hagala Bechamin. So what's the difference? So it says Gemara Shtifa Yiserta. The kelim that require Mariko Shtifa require an additional rinse with the cold after you do that Hagala Bechamin. Truma does not require Shtifa Betzon, meaning initially the Gemara just thought that Mariko Shtifa is purely with Tzonin. And then the Gemara says, no, but if you assume Mariko Shtifa is first with Hat and then with Tzonin, so says Gemara, yeah, but that's still different than Hagala. Hagala is only with Hat and is not with Tzonin, and that's why Truma may require Hagala, but does not require Mariko Shtifa, and they are different things from one another. But from tomorrow, we'll pick up with the Mishnah that describes the process of Mariko Shtifa. Good day, Freilich and Chanukah, good Shabbos.